Passage we're looking at, we're looking at prayer, and we're looking at the book of Nehemiah, and it's Nehemiah chapter 1, and Nehemiah is going to introduce us. Now I'm going to grab, let me grab that again, sorry I've given that back to you and I really needed it for myself. So we're looking at prayer. And let's just, well, I'm not going to have the passage read to us now. We're going to just have a little bit of background to it first before we can come to it so we can really appreciate it as we come into one of the great prayers of the Bible and seek to learn from it. Let's start off with something that, well, I wonder if we can learn from this. No, we can't. No, there's nothing to learn there. It's the Spice Girls. It's of old. With those great lyrics of their song. Beautiful, beautifully grammatically constructed with a lovely balance as well. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Unfortunately, many of you know that off by heart. So much as it might annoy you, you know it. It's so well known that in the current EU discussions a couple of weeks ago, it was even quoted by one of the European spokesmen who said, "We expect the United Kingdom to tell us what they want, what they really, really want." And the news has moved on, and we've now told them what our parliament, anyway, really, really want, and they said no. So there we go. Look, some people, when they do pray, they're very, very clear about what they really, really want. Here's someone who's absolutely clear. This happens every week. This is Chicharito. And he's playing now for West Ham. Yes, sorry, West Ham. I should know that one. There's a number of footballers who will pray. You will now see some who will bow towards Mecca as well. They'll pray when they score. Footballers will thank God when they score. I very, very rarely see footballers thank God when the other team score. Lord bless them. Just bless them. I very rarely see footballers on their knees begging for forgiveness because of a really bad foul. That's the way it goes. We have to say that when we've been looking at prayer, one of the important things about prayer is that it's from the heart. Following the prayers of Hannah, we looked at how her prayer might not have been the prayer for all of us, but it was a prayer from her heart as she prayed that she could have a child. That's a prayer from the heart. It's a prayer like Abraham as well. Abraham was bold in coming to God and haggling with God and really trusting that God was hearing him. Maybe also he's really trusting that God will hear him. And those who will pray before a match now. And tonight at the American Super Bowl, there'll be quite a number of the players who'll be praying for their own victory. And I would imagine that across America, there'll be millions who'll be praying for their particular team to win. I think the Patriots will win, but there we go. Let's put it out there. You suspect, though, that sort of prayer is not actually a great model for us, that it's not really okay. It's from the heart, yes, it's a Hannah prayer. It's an Abraham prayer, yep, it's trusting that God's hearing, yes. But there's got to be more to it, hasn't there? Hasn't there? Right, so, how do you pray reacting to the news? You might say, well, I'm not really sure what to say. When the news comes, I don't want that. Go back. Thank you. Right. How do you pray when you react to the news? You might say, I don't know what to pray. Or you might even think, well, what's the point? The news often is all about politics, and God doesn't do politics. Does God do politics? I tell you what, there's an awful lot of people who hope God doesn't do politics. Because they definitely want Christians to keep quiet when it comes to politics, especially if you're the Archbishop or someone like that who I just hear. So, we're not sure about that. What do we do? Well, perhaps we can cover it all with the minister saying a prayer for the world, and that will do. God bless the world, bring peace. Amen. Done. Good. Actually, how do you pray when news comes your way, whether it's local, family, whatever news it is, international news. How do you pray? The Lord wants to hear what you care about. If someone cares about their sports game so much that they will pray to God to fix the result, that's what it is. If you pray for your sports team to win, it's match fixing, okay? How much more do you think God wants to hear what you want, what you care about when you hear the news around you? What is really, really important to you? But there's something else that goes on when you open your heart to God and say, do you know that I care about? And you bring your prayer to him. So we're going to turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes at a critical time for the nation of Israel. I want you to imagine that you are part of an exiled group of people, because that's what Nehemiah is. People of Israel carrying a lot of guilt because the reason that catastrophe had come across their land, they'd been invaded, they'd been deported many hundreds of miles away. Why? Because they had done wrong and they'd abandoned God. Now, there was no two ways about it. The prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, were quite clear about it. It's your fault. You went off with other gods. It was like a dream for those who do interfaith stuff. They did interfaith so much so that they even abandoned their own faith in the Lord, so that they could have more of the other faiths that were around them and live their lives the way the other faiths lived their life. They were not particularly what we would call nowadays moral, certainly not good morals. And they'd abandoned God and they'd gone off. And so God said, right, I'll leave you to it if that's what you want. And they were conquered, they were exiled. And they were told by Jeremiah, the prophet, that their exile would last 70 years. 70 years, at the time of our reading, is just about up. Nehemiah has just received a report from someone who's gone all the way back to Israel, seen what's the state of the place, and he's come back and he's told Nehemiah, Nehemiah, the place is in ruins. People there are in despair. Jerusalem, the great city of the Lord, walls are broken down. The temple is just rubble. The worship of God and the gathering of God's people to worship has ceased. No one's taken it up again. Nehemiah, he wept. It affected him that much. Now, we are talking tough man. He is the equivalent of a bodyguard. He's the cupbearer to the king. The cupbearer is the one who would drink things just to see if it's poison. So you take the hit for the king. And many other things as well. His task, he's bodyguard, he's tough. And tough man breaks down in tears when he hears that God's temple, God's people are no more. So he's asking for permission. 70 years is about up. And he's asking for permission to go back and to rebuild it. Wow. It's a big request. He's going to ask the king. If he gets his request wrong, by the way, he might be executed. So this is a bold prayer. But it's the first stage. He's one of the few who wants to return. Most of the other people have settled into the new land and they don't want to go back. They've been refugees. They've got a new life. They've got passports. They're happy. So he's going to have a prayer where he tells the Lord what he really, really wants. Let's hear it. Sue, are you ready? We're going to hear those first 11 verses.
The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned by fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king.
Today we're not just going to look at prayer from the heart. We'll look at something else that prayer does to you. Now there's a lot of talk at the moment about what prayer does for you. It makes you more relaxed. It centers you. It helps you just to live in the moment, and it's good for your health. It's very popular to be said, and none of it is going to be denied this morning, except that it's going to do something else to you, which we're going to look at, and it's a much deeper work. Let's look at the prayer, though, to start off with. What does he start off? He starts off by affirming his understanding of God, what God is and what we understand, and here Nehemiah is praising the Lord. God of heaven, great and awesome God. He's just affirming what is true, and God's not going, really? I never knew that. I was like that. Of course not. This is important for Nehemiah to do. To tell God how he understands God. He goes on to come in humility about the faith he's received. And in verse 6, just at the beginning there, and let your ear be attentive, your eyes open, to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night. So he's coming in humility. Lord, I have no rights before you. Come because you listen and you invite me. He then comes to make his confession. Not coming with demands, but coming recognizing all that's gone wrong. You notice in verse 6, just towards the end, he's not going to say, you know, all the other people, the Jewish people, they've been awful, haven't they? Previous generations, what a rotten lot. But we're different, Lord. No, instead, he says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. So he identifies with people, and in humility, he makes it his own confession as well. And then he recites how he understands the will of God. He comes to the promises of God. This time, he's not thinking about what he wants. He's thinking about what the Lord has shown him about, what God wants. And he says, remember your instructions you gave your servant Moses. You gave. He said, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, obey my commands, then even if you're exiled people at the furthest horizons, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name, which is the temple in Jerusalem. Wow. He's not saying this is what I want to say. He's saying, it's what you said. You said it. This is your will, Lord, and this is how I understand your promise. And therefore, he can go on to his own open-handed plea. Lord, very simply, that's all true, that's where we're going, and my simple request is my interview with the king. I need that to go all right. That's the first stage. That's the first step. So, Lord, will you just, because I think this is your will, I believe you're a great God, I think I'm on the right track, so therefore, because of that, please answer my prayer. It's an effective prayer. You see, he does declare what Nehemiah cares about. He cares that he does not get executed for speaking out of turn with the king. And we have a transcript of his dialogue with the king, Artaxerxes. There's a name for you. Imagine spelling that out every time. But his what he cares about is obviously his own safety. He also wants to go home and fulfill that promise, very importantly. He's now including what God cares about. And he's bringing the two together. He's bringing the Hannah prayer, the Abraham prayer. This is what I really, really want. This is what you really want. They're not always the same, are they? They won't be this evening at this big American event, the Super Bowl. There'll be so many prayers for both sides. They will not be the same as what the Lord wants. I wonder if God cares about that. I don't know. But anyway, in this prayer, we see that there is a coming together. Nehemiah trying to bring his cares together with God's cares. Effective prayer is learning to care, yes. Bringing that care and that response to God in prayer, yes. But learning to make your cares match up with God's cares. And as you pray, as you are involved in that process of prayer, it's not just about relaxing and making you nice and healthy and living in the moment. It is that vital task of our wills being moulded into the shape of God's wills. And that happens in prayer. As Nehemiah did that, and as he was in that process of letting his will be moulded by God's will, and his desires moulded by the promises of God, Nehemiah turns from someone who's just reporting the news, someone just said, this is what's happening, to someone who is actually a participant. And he becomes a negotiator, he becomes a builder, as events unfold, and he's part of God's process of restoring the people to their homeland. And he says in all of that, remember me with favour, O my God. Prayer shapes us. Do you want to see a short clip of some birdies? You don't. Right, okay. We'll move straight on then. Shall we anyway? Yeah, let's do it anyway. Okay. Some little birdies. Here we go. They're very cute, aren't they? Media identify them as, they're not just ducks, they're sawbills. Slightly different. Oh, first time out. Go on, first time out. Oh, it's a long way down. Oh, dear. Oh, no. Oh, no, don't do it. I really didn't want to do it. Go on, no. Go, he's got a lot of pressure from behind. And I think there's a shove going. There's a shove, that was a shove. Oh, duff. Yeah, that looked fun. Yeah, go on. Oh no. Oh, that is a long way. Really is a long way. The wings are not there. Oh, dear. Oh, what a mess. Splat. And there we go. There comes the parent. And one day they all grow up not to be mallards, because they're not mallards, but they grow up to fly properly and take their part in the big wide world. Why do we do that? Well, because it's jolly good fun looking at clips of little ducklings jumping out the nest. Who don't understand that the will of their parents is to jump when they're ready. But there's something in them, there's something in their instinct, something in their growing up that aligns with the will of their parents who've been through this process before, and it forces them finally to align and to do it and to take the jump. And when the parent goes back to the nest, thankfully it's all empty, and they are all gone. So God wants our will to be aligned with His, and then we ask. You might ask, can God only act in certain circumstances if we pray, if we want what God wants? We don't pray, we don't want it, and God doesn't act. Maybe. But that's not the point of it. It's not God saying, unless you pray, unless you ask for it, I'm not going to do it. No way. No, there's no deal. That's a red line. You've got to pray. What God is doing instead is He's inviting us into His will. Do you want to desire as I desire? You're going to need to pray. Do you want to start to want the things that I love and delight in? You're going to have to pray. Do you want it? Do you want that life of Jesus to be known by you and known by others? For people to come to know Him, to have lives transformed? Do you want? That's what I want. That's what the cross is about, says the Lord. Do you want that? Then you need to pray. And that's going to have to be part of your prayers. And when you pour in your heart out to the Lord about the things that really matter to you, do that. But in the process, start to align those desires with what God wants. So that when you're passionate in your prayers, when you're praying from the heart, when it really is coming out, maybe there'll be those times when it's what God wants as well. And there's an amen from heaven which says, yes, your will is becoming my will. You're getting it. Yes, Lord. Yes, says the Lord. So the Lord wants you to care about what He cares about. He wants us to be transformed in that way in your prayer. And the only way you can do it is by coming to God and praying. And that means in the process of learning to pray, there will be an awful lot of rubbish prayers. Dear God, help Crystal Palace to win the league. Those sorts of prayers from the heart. Yeah. But you know what I mean? There'll be those prayers. There'll be those, God give me a parking space prayer, which come out of strange desperation, which means, can I have it before someone else gets it? And you sort of say, I wonder if that was a proper prayer. I mean, we go through all that process, and I don't think the Lord minds that. As long as it's just part of the process of us learning to really desire what God wants. And that doesn't mean praying the right thing so everyone else thinks it's a great prayer. That means really feeling it from your heart. It's what I want, Lord. And that is why, sometimes in the service, I will just say, what news items have you noticed this week? What's concerned you this week? And sometimes it will just be stuff that we've observed. But it does give you the opportunity within a service of saying, actually, that really caught my mind. That story about, I'm really concerned about that. And in what you want done there, there'll be times when that really aligns with God's will. And God says, yes, you care about that, and so do I. And I hear you calling out for justice. I hear you calling out for safety. I hear you calling out for peace. I hear you calling out for mended lives that are broken. The Lord will say, yes, amen, I will answer that. And so when we get together and have such times, pray from the heart. When you're in your own time and it's just you before the Lord, pour out your heart and let your will be aligned to the will of our loving Almighty Father. We're going to bring our response, our worship to Him as we look to God.